Hi, this is Don Dokken. Make sure you check out our new album, Heaven Comes Down, coming out on October 27th. And you're listening to Dave and Shane. Watch their show because they're really cool guys.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford.
Rudy Sargent.
Hey there, this is Steve Hackett.
You folks are just recapping a triumph from a talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Heaven Comes Down is the album October 27th, the release, and this is the 13th album, right, from Dokken. I mean, how does it feel? I mean, you were pretty inspirational on cranking this. It's crunchy. It's just really crunchy.
Yeah, I have to give the sonics to Kevin Shirley, who's Kevin Shirley. And when we finished the record, I said, I can't mix it. I don't have my, I don't own a, I had a recording studio for years, but I don't have it anymore. I sold it. And I said, we got to get somebody to make, as you said, crunchy. And Kevin Shirley. So I was just looking around YouTube and the internet, see whose albums are coming out, listening. And I heard the new Iron Maiden album. And I went, oh, that sounds good. And I looked at the name, Kevin Shirley. He's done everybody, man. He's famous. Yeah. So I called him up and I thought that'd be perfect. I can go to LA because I have a house there. And he's always been in Malibu. It's called Caveman Studios. And we're talking about mixing the record. And I said, yeah. And we talked about money and how long we do it. And I was going to go there. And he said, oh, and by the way, I live in Australia now.
Oh, wow.
And I went, huh?
And I said, well,
and he said, well, you can get on a plane. I said, I don't know. Yeah. So we literally phoned it in, as they say. We phoned it in, and I literally didn't sleep for a month. Because, you know, when you're in the studio, if I'm just sitting there and I say, can you turn the snare up a little bit? Well, that takes 2 seconds. Yeah. Can you make the kick drum a little tighter? That takes 2 seconds. So I give him my notes on the phone, and then he emailed me back a mix and 5 minutes later. So I had my phone next to my bed, and every time I had a motorcycle sound, I go, that's Kevin. So he, you know, we're going back and forth, back and forth, back. And so I didn't sleep much because, you know, the time difference. But it was hard to mix. You know, honestly, when he first started out, he sent me 2 mixes and I was very disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't like this. And he said, well, I thought you wanted the, as he called it, the classic Dokken sound. And I said, no, the songs can be that like that, but that was 30 years ago. Let's move forward into 2022. So yeah. I said, I just want it punchy and in your face and beautiful and powerful and big harmonies. And, you know, I didn't want it to sound like 1985. So we had to get on the same page.
Is that tricky, Tom, with like you want the classic metal's coming back, that feel, you know, we talked to several people this year, just that classic metal sound, but yeah, obviously you want to update it. Is that kind of tricky to ride that line with both sides of the coin?
Yeah. I didn't see the point of trying to go back to 1985.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, technology was what it was. You know, the record companies in the 80s, you know, when there was still radio instead of Zoom and podcasts, you know, they wanted the songs compressed really tightly. They didn't want the drums loud. They wanted the vocals out front. They wanted the solo really loud. That's what radio was.
Yeah.
But those days have kind of gone, you know, they're kind of gone now. So I just said, let's just make it like hi-fi.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard records are coming back. I have to go out. I have to go find a record player. So every song I try to treat individually. And I think we accomplished it only by accident because of COVID and because when my arm got paralyzed, I couldn't play guitar anymore. I mean, there's my good hand. Yeah. There's my claw. The Freddy Krueger hand, they really fucked me up.
Oh, man.
And it was so sad. Yeah. I went into surgery. It's been 3 years. I went in for this hand. It was these two fingers. They call it trigger finger.
Right. It
would just go like this and like bend over like a Ronnie James Dio sign. They would just fold and I'd have to go, oh, fuck, that hurts. And the doctor, and he said, hey, your spinal cord's compressed in your neck. And I said, I feel fine. And they kept saying, oh, did you get in an accident? Nope. Did you fall off your motorcycle? Nope. Somebody hit you with a bat? Nope. You know, we didn't know why, but this right in the bottom of my neck, the spine was, the vertebrae was being compressed. So I found a specialist, went to LA, the top hospital that I can't mention because we're in a lawsuit, and got a specialist. Oh, no. I mean, my scar goes from the bottom of my head all the way down my back. I look like a fucking corpse. Oh, use my language. And then when I woke up, my right arm was completely paralyzed. Everything's gone. All gone.
Oh my God.
Way took me a year to be able to do this. I kept trying, and I put my hand up and just fall down. I put it up and just fall down. I go, and I said, what the hell did you do to me? But when you're right-handed, I've learned, you know, that simple things, washing dishes, making the bed, typing on the computer, I can't play guitar anymore, which really put me into a deep depression.
Yeah,
I've been playing guitar since I was 10. And, you know, maybe the misconception about Dokken with Lynch was, you know, George wrote the music and I wrote the lyrics, but that really wasn't true. Yeah. I wrote a lot of the guitar part. I wrote a lot of the songs. And now I'm looking at my guitar right now. You know, I had bazillions of them. So I just kept one electric and one my Spanish. And I used to play flamenco style. So you roll your fingers like this on the right hand. That's what I've always done. So on Dokken albums, if it was an acoustic song or arpeggiated, as we call it, I would do it because that's not George's thing. So I couldn't play anymore. It really broke my heart. You know, it was like, yeah, I swear, it was like I lost a loved one, you know. That's the way it is. It was very sad. I guess we were lucky. I wouldn't say it was luck, but because of COVID, before my surgery, and John and I, we were just writing and writing and writing. Nothing else to do. You know, we all have our home studios, and we ended up with, like, I think 27 songs.
Wow.
And I set the bar high because it's our last record. We won't be doing any more records. That's just the truth. I can't. You know, I can't project my spiritual or my ideas into someone else's brain. I have to play it and put on a tape recorder, then you do it for real.
What do you think all the other bands calling it quits right now? Like Kix just wrapped up. Big fan of Kix. I don't know if you are. They were a tight little band.
They were great. You know, we did a couple. Whenever we go to Maryland,
yeah,
headline above us. And I'm like, really? We sold 10 million records. They had a couple of hits, but you know, they're like, I think I'm pretty sure it's from Maryland.
Yes, it is.
And when we get to that neck of the woods, we would play with Kix. And the singer's great. You know, I love the band. Great songs, great singer. Jesus, when I think we played with them last year, I mean, I was like, damn, I wish I was younger. He's still active. He's animated on stage. He's jumping around, man. He's got the moves. He's thin and fit. And I'm going, and he still sings great. I'm like, I don't remember his name, but we chatted. I go, man, that band's still rocking. So I'm surprised you just told me that they're retiring.
Yeah, they played their last show at Merriweather Post Pavilion in Maryland.
Love that venue.
Yeah, it was just kind of hard. They were my band when I was a real little. They were the ones that got me into metal. But I mean, we're losing them. Larry Mullen of U2 stepped down from the chair. Joey Kramer of Aerosmith. Steven Tyler can't sing right now and may be in jeopardy. And we talked to David Coverdale a couple months ago, and he can't tour because he was ill, and his voice, he won't do it unless his voice is right.
No, I did two Whitesnake tours. Well, we did Scorpions, Whitesnake, Dokken, and Sebastian Bach. And Dave and I had long conversations because I've had my problems with my voice. And over the years, I'm good, I'm bad. I'm good, I'm bad. And I just couldn't figure it out, you know. And at the end of the day, I found out I snore. I have sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. So I went to a sleep study, you know, and you're doing all night long. It trashes your vocal cords.
Yeah.
Because I'd be on the road, we're in a tour bus, and you're sleeping like a vampire. I'm just a little bunk. And if you sleep on your back, I snored. So I had to get the CPAP and the whole enchilada, and after about a month or two, I was like, man, my voice is getting better and better and better. And when I forget to wear it, you know, it is what it is. But I was really bummed to hear about Steven Tyler. He actually tore his larynx, which is really serious. Yeah. And that's not good. And yeah. So the point was, Robert Plant, no offense to Robert, he's my hero, but as the tour went on, I could see he was struggling. You know, David was just struggling more and more and more and more. And I was struggling, you know. I mean, we get older. And I think fans they have no mercy. They grew up with you when you were 30 years old and you're singing way up in the stratosphere. And when you get older and you get to 60s or 70s, you're like, you don't sound like you did in 85. Yeah. Well, it's like a motor, you know, in a 327 yeah. Chevy, brand new engine, and you win the race. And the next year you use the same motor and you come in second. And 5 years in, this, if you don't rebuild the engine, you come in 10th. That's the same with vocal cords. They wear out. I've done thousands and thousands of concerts in my career. So, but then there's the people that are blessed. Ronnie James Dio, he did his last live recording at Radio City Music Hall. I popped in the studio when he was in there doing some overdubs.
Yeah.
Sounded amazing. And he had cancer, terminal cancer. And I was like, and I remember looking yeah. around and he was telling the engineer, let me do it again. I can do it better. And I was thinking, nah, it was perfect.
Yeah, you know, right.
Amazing. And yeah. he was, you know, not well. But you got people like Glenn Hughes. He's in his 70s. He sounds just like he did when he was in Deep Purple 40 years ago, you know? Some people are
blessed. Insane. Yeah. Is it hard, like, because I think we as fans, you know, we see you guys as idols, you know, icons, and do you think that's where sometimes fans forget that, you know, you're human too? You know, it's the voice is an instrument, right? It's the body. It's, you know, I don't know. I wonder at that times, you know?
I don't think people understand. They're just, you know, when your strings wear out and they start sounding like crap on your guitar, you put a new set of strings on.
Yeah,
you know, they get dull and they sound like crap and they have no nothing. But we can't do that, you know, with your vocal cords. I remember there was about 3 years that the singer in Cinderella just stopped. And I saw him again and he'd had surgery. I think they put some like titanium stuff in his vocal cords. And he went to Ron Anderson, who's now passed mm-hmm. away, who was like the famous vocal coach. I went to him too. Everybody went to him. And he came back because, you know, he sang, what the hell's his name? In Cinderella.
Tom Kiefer.
Tom Kiefer.
Really brilliant musician. Plays yep. sax, plays piano, plays acoustic. But, you know, that Shake Me All Night. I mean, he was singing so high.
Way and up there.
Thought, yeah. How's he going to, you know, he sings way in the hell up there. Yeah. It hurt my voice listening to him. And I thought, how's he going to maintain this, you know? And he lost his voice and he had to do a lot of recovery and rehab. But it just seems like the fans sometimes are just don't have any mercy on us old guys.
Yeah.
You know? I don't hit the high notes. I can. If I'm fresh, I can go out and hit the big, super high screams on Kiss of Death. And the next day I'm like, oh, that hurt. But, you know, you get older, the fans yeah. don't care. They want to hear you sing just like you did on Tooth and Nail, Under Lock and Key, Back to the Attack. They don't care if you've done another 1,000 shows, you know? So what can I do? You know, I do the best I can. And on this record, we were very conscious for me to sing in my comfortable range on this record. I don't need to prove anything anymore that I could sing alto and hit right. beat flats above A. You know, Halford can still do it. Even Halford doesn't do it all the time. So I just figured I got nothing to prove. I'm going to sing right. comfortable where I can get emotion and emote my lyrics and be passionate without trying to be in the studio and killing myself trying to sound like I did in 1987.
Yeah.
And that's what we did on this record.
Don, on the flip side of that, what do you think of bands that are still gone that maybe shouldn't? You're using a lot of enhancements, a lot of tapes. We won't get into names or anything, but it's been kind of out there. I played with them. Yeah.
Leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of divided. Some fans say it's a show, let the show go on. And other fans, even Graham Bonnet said he didn't have a problem with it in some respects, but do you think bands should keep going and doing that show, or do you think they should stop?
Well, like with Graham's situation, you know, it was different. He had a brain tumor, so, yeah. You know, and he had to leave. I think that Kelly Hansen has done a great job, you know, like in Foreigner, and just, I mean, he sounds amazing. But I don't have a problem with it, you know. I mean, let's face it, our genre, when you come to a Dokken concert or Scorpions or, you know, anybody, there's a lot of nostalgia. You know, things have changed now. You know, in the 80s, I had bodyguards surrounding me.
Yeah.
Nobody was allowed to get within 10 feet of me. You know, stay away from Don. Don't talk to him. You know, he doesn't want to talk and he doesn't want to get sick. But now we do these meet and greets and you meet the fans and you sign autographs and that's cool. And I asked these young kids I'm seeing, 24, 25, 26. And I said, you weren't even born when I wrote some of these records. Why are you coming? What turn do you want to Dokken? And they say their parents, you know, they handed down their records and CDs to them. And they said, when we got turned on to you guys, we were 12 or 13 or 14, and we couldn't see you. And then you guys broke up. So we didn't get to see Dokken live. And they're just happy that we're back and to get to hear those songs they grew up on. So on that merit, I get it. You know, you do the best you can, you sing the best you can, put on a good show. Some of the bands we play with, when I see a singer singing, and the mic's here, and he's moving his mouth, and I hear it clearly, I'm like, he's not singing. I can't say who, but it's not my right to pass judgment on anybody, you know.
Sure.
Shit. But I have seen some bands, and I'm like, well, if you're gonna fake it, practice. And right. I see it on YouTube.
YouTube detectives. Yeah.
Go on YouTube and you see the guys, he's singing, you know, he's doing this, and he goes, pulls the mic away, and he's still perfect. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I think he's faking it. Yeah. And they have the background vocals recorded and all that shit. So if the fans are happy and they paid the money and they want to go see the show and see the band members and the production, and they're happy, I got no problem with that. But for me, if I can't sing anymore and I'm just sucking every night, which I have before, then I'll probably just go home. I'll just say, it's what's that old saying? You throw a party and no one shows up, you know?
Yeah.
When it gets to that point, I would probably call it. Our curse in Dokken always was Jeff Pilsen sang great, Mick Brown sang great. We were known for the harmonies. In My Dreams, Into the Fire, The Hunter. And I'm lucky now that Chris McCarve on the bass is a singer. John Levin sings great, but he hates singing. But he's really good. And BJ sings, so we can maintain the sound of Dokken with the big harmonies. We're still pulling it off. We don't use tape. We don't use auto-tune. I am somewhat offended when I hear records now, and it's obviously a lot of these girl singers, they can't sing. And they put it through that thing called auto-tune, and it sounds like a robot. A lot of the rappers, R&B, hip-hoppers, they go, they're not singing. They just sing one take and go, put it in the machines, fix it, make it in tune. Well, that's not music, man. You know, no. I've sang a song 10 times over. You know, when Michael Wagner was Brewster, and he's, you sounded great, Don, but you were just a little bit flat. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I do it again. Well, nowadays you just push a button and it puts you right on tune.
I think the raw video of Stars with Dio in 85, you guys were doing, I can't remember if it was you, but other singers were like you doing those passes a few times, right? Like,
yes.
You know, what was that like, by the way?
Yeah. Like, you know, the joke on that video is I knew everybody was going to show up in leather jackets and studs and and I thought, you know what? I think I'll just show up in a white suit. Which I did.
Nice. Yeah. I remember that.
Type suit over that.
Yeah. That's
right. And I thought, I'm going to be anti rock, and everybody's all leathered out. And I remember Ronnie pushes the button. He said, hey, Don, GQ called. And I got this like cool Versace pinstripe suit on. You know, I could have drug out my leathers and stuff, but I knew everybody was going to show up looking like that. So I went anti. But, and as in the video, I was trying to cop Ronnie's music as melodies, and the melodies were very Dio. So I was, you know, trying to sing like he would want me to sing, like his melody. And finally, it's on the film, and he said, Don, just be yourself. Here's the line. Just be Don Dokken. You don't have to try to copy me or anybody else. Just sing it. And I did. And I did a couple takes and I got it quick. I'm a quick study. I don't spend hours on vocals. Either I get it or I don't.
It's an iconic performance. I had to ask
you. Amazing.
Yeah.
But this is just something that came up because we talked to Michael Schenker last year, and he you sang on Blackout. Your name's in the credits. We talked with Michael and he was kind of bitter. He's still bitter about his guitar work on that record and his his songwriting not being credited.
Yeah.
It's a very big source of frustration for him to this day with his brother. Do you have any thoughts? Do you remember him in the studio working on the album? Did you get to jam with him?
Oh, yeah. I was there through the whole thing. You know, Dieter Dierks, that had been their longtime producer, had seen me play in Hamburg. And we were hoping I'd get a record deal. We were a nobody. And he actually came to a little tiny club called the Big App. They didn't even have a stage. We just set up the dance floor. Dieter said, hey, I got a 10-hour layover. I'll come see you. And then we were excited. And we tried to play good. And we were just a three-piece then. It was Juan Crucier, before we were Rat, me. I was playing lead guitar. And he walked up in his German accent. He goes, Don, it was nice to see you, but I don't like your band. And I went, ouch, 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 that hurt.
Yeah.
Direct German comment.
Yeah.
And he said, but I noticed you sing with a lot of vibrato, which I do. I always have. I don't know how to sing any other way. And that was about the time that Klaus had surgery, same problem, because he sang real high, and he had these electrodes and wires and this thing on his belt, and wasn't talking to anybody. So that's when he asked me to, would you like to come to Germany and sing on the Blackout album? And I said, you're kidding me, right? It's like somebody saying, you want to sing with Led Zeppelin?
Yeah. I love Scorpions. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening to the Scorpions on Fly of the Rainbow, Tokyo tapes, back when Uli John Roth was in the band. And Schenker, and Uli was just shredding it, you know? And he was
in the sky. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean,
yeah.
But then Michael, for me, was more of a melodic guitar player.
Right.
I don't see Michael as a shredder. I think he's more of like he writes the solo. You can actually sing it after you hear it a couple of times. Very melodic. So, you know, I went back to LA and I came back to Germany, and Dirk Studios outside of Cologne, and Dieter owned a hotel behind the studio. And the deal was I would sing on the Scorpions album, just very, very high notes, super high. I mean, it killed me. I almost got a hernia. And he said, I'll let you use Studio B, the little studio, you know, for a week for singing on the Scorpions album. And then it got kind of all screwed up for a little while because I was behind the glass in the control room singing, and some journalists had come and saw me singing, you know. And then all of a sudden these rumors started that, oh, Don Dokken's is going to be the new singer in Scorpions and Klaus can't sing anymore. And I'd honestly say Klaus was there in the studio. They had this room. We'd all play Defender and Pac-Man. And he wasn't really talkative to me. And I finally went to Klaus one day and I said, I just want to say something. I'm just here to help. I'm just a session cat, man. I'm just trying to help you out. And I said, if the Scorpions asked me to join the band, I'd say no. And I told him, you are the sound of the Scorpions. You are Klaus Meine. Without you, my opinion, the band doesn't exist. And then we became the best of friends.
Nice.
And Rudy came in, we were doing Paris is Burning, and he was giving us some ideas. And but there was, it was a bit weird because Matthias was there and Michael was there. So Michael was coming in and out, but Matthias Jobs was there coming in. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, I wasn't involved in their politics, but I was going like, what's going on, you know? So if you say Michael's bitter because he wrote a lot of the songs on Black Up, wasn't credited, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Because I was there the whole time. I was there for a month.
Yeah.